This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Dodge. So earlier this week, President Donald Trump rolled out import tariffs on solar panels and also washing machines. So that's expected to hit industry players in China, South Korea, Singapore and Malaysia. What do you make of this policy?
Well, good morning, Han. Yes, it's part of his... It is his most significant trade move since his decision to pull the U.S. out of TPP and also renegotiate NAFTA. So it is a continuation of what he had promised as part of his inauguration. The tougher policy was approved after the U.S. International Trade Commission, the ITC, found that our local manufacturers were, in fact, being hurt by cheaper imports. So manufacturing companies like our Whirlpool, some solar firms like Suniva and Solar World Americas, they had complained to the ITC, and in fact, the ITC had found in their favor. So this is just a continuation of the impact of what is being perceived as being unfair to U.S. economy. The tariffs set on solar panels were actually lower than domestic U.S. producers had hoped for, but the duties on the washing machines and parts, they were much steeper than expected. I think they're about 50% more in some cases. I think it's the beginning of negotiations. I'm not sure. I cannot really believe that this is going to continue, that they will stay in place. I do think it's part of the negotiations that are going to go on over the next 6 to 18 months. And so we will see what the impact is, that the U.S. is taking a more serious role and is not just relying on politics. So we will see what happens. Yes, short term, it is very significant. But let's see what happens over the longer term and whether they will stay in place.
And you've also got comments from the U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross hinting at more protectionist trade measures. Question here is, I mean, is there enough growth momentum in global trade to withstand these kind of protectionist policies coming out of the U.S.?
Well, Han, what Wilbur Ross is saying is hinting, and yes, we do have Trump speaking on Thursday, so at the World Trade Organization. So we're going to see, I think all this is part of negotiations, and this is typical in deals, business deals, which is Trump's background. I do believe strongly that global trade will be strong enough now to continue its growth momentum despite what is being perceived as total U.S. protectionism, because I think ultimately the U.S. will renegotiate and we'll have a more equal, more neutral ground for global trade. And I think that will, in fact, be very helpful for global trade over the longer term.
And speaking of, you know, that echoes comments made by U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin saying the weaker dollar is obviously good. His words there, obviously good for U.S. trade. Yet you've got another side that says that the weaker dollar is a reflection of investors' concerns over those that protectionist stance. So where do you fall in that spectrum? Is a weaker dollar net positive for the U.S. economy?
Well, in terms of the market, what you were saying is true. In terms of longer term, I do think that a weaker dollar is not particularly good, but over the longer term, I do believe it will help the U.S. economy. Now, when you have these statements, you really have to look at the other side of the trade. If you look at the euro has surged 14% against the dollar in the past 12 months. It's because of robust economic growth in Europe, and that's prompted the ECB to begin reducing the size of their massive bond purchase over recent years. Take a look at the sterling. The sterling is now above the $1.41 level. It reclaimed it for the first time since the aftermath of the UK's vote to leave the EU. The pound is up 0.7% at the $1.41. It's supported by a growing sense that political conditions look supportive of a softer Brexit. Take a look at the yen. The dollar fell against the yen after the Bank of China on Tuesday continued its efforts to cool speculation that the bank will raise rates this year. So, yes, weaker dollar in absolute terms is good for the U.S., but it's really more right now an indication of the strength of other currencies and other countries and the growth that they are exhibiting, and it's also a sign of a very strong world economic growth overall.
The implications aside, do you have a, say, longer-term view on the dollar? So is this weaker dollar going to be transitory?
Yes, it will be transitory. I suspect we will see it to be continue to weak for 3 to 6 months. I think there'll be more trading in terms of the positive. There'll be more trading in the other currencies. But once we get into the second half of this year and some of the deals that will be struck between now and then will come to fruition, and some of the impact of what we're seeing now as U.S. protectionism will weaken, and it won't be as perceived as protectionist as it is being perceived now. So I do suspect that by the third and fourth quarter, particularly the fourth quarter, the U.S. dollar will begin to strengthen.
Now, Dodge, in keeping with our theme of global trade, there's news of this revised Trans-Pacific Partnership, or CPTPP, or TPP-11 as they call it now, one that's without the U.S., and that's set to be signed in Chile in March. So how meaningful will this new revised TPP sans U.S.? How good will it be for global trade overall?
Quite frankly, I think it's going to be very good. You have leaders from Japan to Canada. They've worked through a series of disputes to forge an agreement to keep the framework alive. So while the hope is that the U.S. will return to the fold, that's not necessary, but the U.S. may want to, given the strength of countries independent of the U.S. participation. It will prove an economic and political force in its own right. And by the way, it will be one that doesn't include China. So we're going to be watching it. Bottom line, unlike a traditional trade deal covering the exchange of goods and services, it also locks in other requirements like labor issues and the environment to government procurement. So this is getting quite interesting. Yes, the strength of it is going to be a lot less than with the U.S. participation, but it does give the chance for other countries to exhibit some diplomacy, some discretion, further strength, and also it will help the world economy. In terms of China, it's really a lost opportunity. China now must compete with Japan. Yes, it is ahead of a rival trading group, but there will be competition, and we'll have to see how that shakes out. It is an open agreement. It has flexibility to include others. Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan have all indicated interest. And South Korea, who's also been negotiating and talking about joining the RCEP, which is part of China, China's group. It's also talked about joining TPP. So let's see what shakes out. I do believe the bottom line is longer term, this will strengthen the world economy as a whole and give greater say to other countries and not just the major powers. And that from a world perspective, it will be very good.
Great insights there, Dodge. So, given all these investment opportunities, given all these expected trends, rather, in global trade, and also given your outlook on the weaker dollar, at least for the next few months before a possible rebound in the fourth quarter. So, given all those themes, what kind of investment opportunities are you keeping an eye on?
Well, commodities are going to be very important for the short term. Well, first of all, we're looking for longer term, but we're also looking at sector rotation. We're seeing a great deal of sector rotation. So it's really one's perspective. If one has a longer term perspective, then one will be willing to live through some of the ups and downs. But in terms of commodities, that's one area that we will be very interested in, particularly gold. If it can get above 1,400, that really there are reasons for it to go over 1,400, not just in terms of taxes and in terms of what's going on in the World Trade Organizations. I do believe that gold, from a longer-term perspective, is now going to gain strength, but I am watching 1,400. Other commodities, we're watching forest products. We're also watching financials. Financials have been a good sector to be involved with. We're now expanding that from not just commercial banks, but also insurance and other parts of the financial industry. But in terms of longer term, the market, we continue to be strong. We continue to stay in a very limited number of sectors, particularly ones we're talking now. And we will watch. We're going to have to make the market prove that it's going to have a more significant downturn that will be longer term. Until that happens, we're still very confident about the growth of world markets and particularly the U.S. stock markets.
Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Dodge Dorlan, Chief Investment Officer at Lender & Fuse Capital Managers in New York.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.